Today is one of those days that a sermon seems almost counterproductive. Why? Well, the words of Jesus in our gospel lesson, they're quite simple, quite easy to understand. It's basic Sunday school kind of stuff. Everyone knows the parables of sowing seed and the tiny mustard seeds growing in the greatest and largest plants of all the garden. And everyone knows what they mean. And even if you are unfamiliar with these parables, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the meaning is for us to sow the seed of God's word. It's also simple. The sermon seems almost unnecessary. All too often we come to these parables from a very logical, practical perspective. Basically, we look only as far as how to being taught and never get to the why. Why did Jesus teach these parables? You see, the real lesson to be learned here is found in the reasons for Christ's teaching, not in the method that it's taught. Why did Jesus teach this lesson in the first place? Many people were following Jesus, but many more doubted him. Many more were out to silence him, mock him, discredit him, even harm him. Remember last week's gospel preceding this, these parables? Telling Jesus' own mother, his brothers and his sisters, his own family, trying to lay hands on him and silence him and take him home as if he was out of his mind and mentally ill, bringing great shame upon the family with his behavior. We heard Jesus' own family try to shut him up, discredit him, and then Jesus immediately begins to teach his disciples these lessons about the reign and rule of God and how it is that God works. Makes perfect sense. The disciples of Jesus had witnessed a lot of things happening with Jesus' ministry. There were times that Jesus seemed like he was more concerned about right practice than he was about establishing relationships and friendships and building up the numbers. There were occasions when people turned and walked away because they didn't like what Jesus was teaching. They didn't like what they had heard. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? Jesus was not matching up with what people wanted, expected, and demanded, so they walked away. There's also the fact that following Jesus could prove hazardous to your health. John the Baptist certainly found that out the hard way, as did all the rest of the disciples. And don't think it went unnoticed that Jesus was public enemy number one with the religious elite. If you got on the wrong side of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, you could expect a high degree of misery in your future. The book of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. People have always tried to avoid conflict and be liked by everyone. That's just human nature. No one likes to be disliked. And yet, faithfully following Jesus will make you disliked by a lot of people. There's also the fact that following Jesus wasn't exactly a fast track to all the finer things in life. In fact, following Jesus often put one lower than the animals in terms of finer things and luxuries. Luke records Jesus saying, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And Mark says this, "Take nothing or your journey, no staff, no money bag, no bread, no money. Do not have two tunics. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." To be sure, following Jesus wasn't exactly the world's perfect picture of success, which is why so many of his own disciples would doubt and despair and turn and walk away. Now, I know that at this point, it's rather easy for us to look down upon these followers who turned away from Christ when things did not go as they had planned. I mean, after all, we would never do that, would we? And yet, we do. We do it all the time. Just think of how often we try to help Jesus out when things aren't working out the way we anticipated or hoped for right here in our church. Every generation of Christians, since Christ walked on this earth, has worried that the church will die out because the younger generations aren't showing up and packing the pews. This is when all kinds of interesting stuff gets introduced in the name of mission or church growth. It happens for centuries. faithful word and sacrament ministry gets pushed to the back burner or abandoned altogether, perhaps, in favor of the newest gimmicks and marketing ploys and business models, all geared to winning market share in specific demographics and more money and more people and more money and more money. We turn the Lord's divine service into something that we hope will appeal to the masses, essentially changing God to suit the customer rather than letting God change the consumer to suit him. People of God, this is the reason why Jesus taught these parables. This is the reason why he still teaches these same parables to us this very day. In a very real way, Jesus is teaching to stay the course. That's his course. He's given us his means of grace as a seed that grows a kingdom. Go and make disciples of all nations. How? By sowing his seeds. That is, by baptizing and teaching all that he has commanded and taught. His words, his sacraments, give life to your family, your friends, and your neighbors. New life sprouts forth from these seeds of divine grace, and only from these seeds of divine grace. How? Just like the farmer who scattered the seeds, he doesn't know how they sprout and grow. He just knows that he sows them, and they sprout and grow. And the littlest and most unassuming seed that our Lord plants in us and gives us to sow, sprout and spring forth life in the grandest fashion and scale, just like the little mustard seed that grows to become the largest of all the garden plants. Look no further than right here at your Lord's feast table. Look at these very unassuming and scant elements of bread and wine. Look no further than the baptismal font, where there a few drops of water, ordinary water, wet your head not so long ago. Look no further than the words of absolution that you heard and you received in the beginning of this divine service. And all of these mere things, these little unassuming mustard seeds, Almighty God is at work, working miraculous, mighty, life-giving, life-saving deeds. These simple mustard seeds, they grow freely, sown with no strings attached, no requirements, no conditions. They spring forth, they produce the fruits of everlasting life. Nothing else can do that. Nothing. There's nothing else in the world that can offer, that can produce these fruits and this rich harvest of life, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and peace. No, we can try to sow other seeds. People have been doing it for centuries. We can try and grow God-pleasing wheat all that we want, but if we're not growing his seed, all we're going to find is a crop of weeds sprouting up. We can try to doctor up the seed that God gives us, as if we're going to improve upon the master gardener's design. We can try, and we will fail. This is the reason that the Lord teaches this lesson. Oh, yes, indeed. We are called and taught to freely sow the gospel seeds God gives to us. We can never deny the core teaching of these parables, but as I said, there's a very good and godly reason that the Lord teaches us these lessons. Rest assured, he does know all that we're experiencing in this fallen and sinful world. He does know how this church is suffering and struggling in the midst of the culture of people who despise him and his means of grace and his holy bride, the church, all despise. He does know all the things that are eating at you and causing you doubt, despair, and worry. He also knows how we tend to respond and behave when life gets tough and things start looking very bleak, and how we tend to panic and flail about like a drowning man, how we, like our first parents, willingly reach out and sample the goods that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh holds out to us, how we tend to look elsewhere for things that we think we need to calm our worries and satisfy our desires. Oh, yes, and he also cares. He knows, and he also cares. He loves you, cares for you so very much. He still cries out to you and teaches you that he's got it all covered and under control. This may sound strange, but these parables of Jesus are just a different way for our Lord God to cry out to us in the midst of the storms of our life. Fear not, fear not. For it is I am with you always. Trust me above all things. I've got it all handled. I'll say this again because repeating it bears repeating. And the ears of faith never tire of hearing the sweet fruit of the gospel. Look right here at what your Lord and Savior is sowing, planting, and growing right here in your midst. Look at these amazing yet unassuming mustard seeds, means of grace, and rejoice. Here is Christ. Here is the master gardener at work in your life, bestowing upon you his superabundant harvest of peace that surpasses all human understanding. Look to and cling to the eternal and unconditional grace given to you in holy baptism. Look to and cling to the mighty life-giving, life-saving gospel promise in, with, and under the ordinary and unassuming mustard seeds of word, water, bread, and wine. In the words of Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. And may the same be said of you. May you ever and always trust in God above all things, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. And may you ever and always take shelter in the mustard seed of the bloody cross of Christ, knowing because of this cross, you are forgiven of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep and shelter you unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confirm our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.